Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It's Monday, July 11th, 2022, and this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. You can call in at 515-612-9731. Be part of the conversation, hit one, or just listen along. We're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody doing that. Make sure you go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us, and it's moving right along. We appreciate everybody's support on everything, and before we go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Give them a call at 800-634-3010. They got all the aftermarket parts. If you're watching on YouTube Live, you can check their website. I'm showing it to you right now, dpfregeneration.com. Check them out. That's all the particulate filters and any kind of like diesel, any size diesel engine you've got, they've got the parts for it. And you just give them a holler, and they got all that stuff with the emissions standards and all that stuff that you have to get from the OEMs and everything. So they got all that, and check them out. Like I said, dpfregeneration.com, or give them a call at 800-634-3010. And I was just checking out the news, and I tell you what, I don't really see anything big going on major, other than just everybody's still going over crazy with that California deal where, you know, if you live in California, it's becoming harder and harder for you to be an owner-operator, especially if you want to lease to a carrier. So you got to watch out for that. And that seems to be the only thing going on around these parts. Other than, you know, just got individual things. There was a deal here that we saw on CDLLife.com where a Tesla, I guess, just crashed right into a parked big truck in a rest area. But I don't think that's right. Well, you know what? I take that back. Yeah, I mean, shoot. Yeah, I'm looking at it right here. There's a picture of it. We'll go back into the screen share, and we'll show you the picture of this crash in the rear end of a Walmart truck, actually. And I'm going to tell you something. That Tesla had to be moving. It went all the way up under, right through the ICC bumper, right up in there. And it looks like it was, like, the truck parking where everybody was kind of, like, you know, parked around there or whatever. Doesn't seem like it says Federal Automotive Safety Agency has opened investigation into the fatal crash involving a Tesla that left two people dead in Florida last week. Okay, that makes sense. Florida's rest area is kind of open where there's a lot more parking, open parking available to like the RVs and stuff. And it just, you could tell where the parking spots were lined up kind of like RV or truck parking. And the Walmart truck was sitting in one of the spots. And I'd like to kind of maybe get like an aerial view to see it, that the Tesla had to be coming right off the highway and went right into that truck. I mean, just full speed, the way that picture shows. So so we'll get into that a little bit and take some calls and see how everybody feels about that. And other than that, there's not too much going on as we see on there. Where you can, I mean, it's just like everybody's talking about the California thing. There was a company up in what was that, up there in New Jersey or somewhere, Land Air. They shut down unexpectedly. I mean, you're just going to see a lot of this happening. I mean, we had this happen even when times are good. You got big companies still go under because we saw that with Central Freight Lines. You know, they just go under because they try to operate off of their, like, you know, credit or just, you know, they don't have any cash. You know, they don't have money to pay bills, and they're not making enough revenue to pay the bills or pay off the credit or the debt they have. So yeah, it's I mean, it's all trucking companies do that. It's you know, the big ones are just as subjective to it as the small ones are. you know, that's where you see if a company lasts a long time, no matter how big they get. I mean, we see it all the time. Remember, I mean, I don't know, there was a bunch of these like leased owner-operator carriers, like they were just owner-operator only, and we thought that they were going to come in. They came in, they spent a bunch of money promoting themselves, and everybody thought that they were going to, like, you know, rival Landstar because of this, you know, they were this whole owner-operator only model. And I think what eventually happens is they just sell out. You know, they either just sell out or they merge or they get bought out. You know, the people running it, they make their money and then, you know, they're part ownership of it. So they sell the whole rights to whatever's going on and then they just cash out. You know, that's what we see. But I remember Great Wide, you know, was one of those. They spent all this money. I mean, they were on satellite radio and they were at the truck show spending money. Everybody said, whoa, you know, they're coming. No. No, you know, they might be out there somewhere, but they're not nowhere near as big as everybody thought they were going to be. And they opened up yards in big cities and then they closed them right back down. So to see big carriers go under just like small carriers ain't no news to me. I mean, don't get me off, you know, anybody out there in the trucking industry that says, wow, you know, no, you know, I mean, even Central Freight, we saw it coming, you know, if you had dealt business with them at all or even seen their facilities, you knew it was coming. You know, I was seeing the truck operate around here locally making deliveries, and they're the only 40 – they had a 40-foot single-axle lift gate that you need to make deliveries into the smaller areas in the downtown area and all that. Well, they only had one here in the Corpus Christi area, and it didn't have a roof on it. So, you know, I mean, and it not only did it not have the roof, I mean, like the roof was like caved in, like the driver had to duck in order to get into the trailer to get the freight out. So, you know, we knew that was coming. So, yeah. But other than that, you know, that's just the way it goes in the trucking industry. We're having a great time here. We're going to have some people. We got a couple of people that we talked to this morning said they were going to be over there in Iowa, at the Truckers Jamboree. So be on the lookout for them. Hopefully they've got some stuff. I know they got business cards. I know we made an effort to get business cards out to them. I was hoping that we can get more things out to them to give away, but, you know, we used most of everything we had for the truck show itself. So, but we were trying to make sure everybody had something to give away, whether it be, you know, stickers or something, but we didn't get anything out to anybody in time. So we'll definitely work harder to make that a thing because, like I said, getting out to these other truck shows, that's important to us. So we appreciate everybody doing that for us and everything. So trucking around along here, let's see. And we appreciate everybody sticking with us. And we're also, like I said, we're going to have people here at the Truckers Jamboree. It's going to be this week. It's the 14th. It's going to be like Thursday, Friday, and then sometime Saturday. Like it'll be that Saturday, but by 5 o'clock the afternoon Saturday, it's gonna be over with. But Thursday night, Friday night, that's the big night. It's like Thursday night is the big night. That's gonna be the fireworks with the light show and everything. It's gonna be a blast. So everybody, make sure if you can swing by there, go check it out. That's always a fun time. But also, just let everybody know, and we'll share it back on here so you can see that the Truckers for Hope, that will be there. And that's going to be September 23rd through the 25th. That's going to be at the Clinton County Fairgrounds in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania. And it's got quite a lineup, if you haven't checked it out yet already, at the truckersforhope.com. But Thursday, the 22nd, that's just kind of a check-in time. And there's going to be a convoy that evening. And then the Friday is when it all starts. And you got monster truck rides, you got animal displays, you got a 4x4 show, you know, a lot of semi-truck drag strip, and they even got a cornhole tournament. And then that night, it's Friday night, you're going to have Long Haul Paul take the stage at 7 p.m., and then you got Tony Justice, the man, taking the stage at 9 p.m. And then that Saturday, of course, all the good stuff going on during the day, and then that evening, there's going to be a fireworks show at 8:15, and then at 9 p.m., Little Texas. And if you've never seen them before in concert, it's always a blast. They're just a lot of fun. And I don't know if they've cut their hair, but back when I went and saw them, you know, they were a country band with the big 80s hairdos. So they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. They did all right. And then, of course, Sunday morning we got church service with the Bull Riders coming in that afternoon. So check it out. Like I said, truckersforhope.com. And it's a trucker show. Okay? It's for the truckers. It's not for the corporate powers and all the big money people. It's for the people. It's for the regular people, the truck drivers, the ones that make it all happen. So check it out, truckersforhope.com. It's going to be September 23rd through 25th. We appreciate all their help getting that going, and we look forward to supporting them further. So check it out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com for all those details. And keep things all good and going here. We're going to slide on out here. We'll be back in a second. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Showed me how the town can shatter a dream. No, they're listening out at night. Ooh, the king of Babylon. Found out that the title takes up the week. Now his guitar's Cadillac.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It's every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation, just hit 1. Or just listen along if you want to. Also, we're on YouTube Live. Go check that out. Make sure you go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. And I want to give a special shout-out to one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools. The Trucker Tools app. You can download the app from your app store on your cell phone, or check them out, truckertools.com, for all their information. They got the load tracking, load route planning. You can get fuel, you can get parking, all kind of information off of Trucker Tools app. And you download the app from the app store. Check them out, truckertools.com, the app for truckers. Appreciate all their support. So I was looking at that picture for the let's go back over to that picture that we saw. Oh, that's not the right one. Here we go. And you can see it's on cdllife.com. And it's this was Monday morning. This article got released on CDL Life. It says, feds to investigate Tesla crash with parked semi that left two dead in Florida rest area. It says the Federal Automotive Safety Agency has opened an investigation into the fatal crash involving Tesla that left two people dead in Florida last week. Let's click on this link here, see what it... That's not it. That doesn't do anything. It says, on Friday, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration confirmed that a special crash investigations team was deployed in the wake of a crash that occurred around 2 p.m. on July 6th near Gainesville, Florida. According to the Florida Highway Patrol, a 66-year-old female driver was behind the wheel of a 2015 Tesla traveling southbound on Interstate 75 at mile marker 382 when, for unknown reasons, the Tesla left the interstate and crashed into the trailer of the truck parked at the Paynes Prairie rest area. It says both the Tesla driver and a 67-year-old male passenger were pronounced dead at the scene. The truck driver, a 58-year-old Florida resident, was not injured. Says the The probe will look into whether any driver assist features like autopilot were active on the Tesla when the fatal crash occurred. And that's so, and that's my question too, is that even if there wasn't, even if the, let's say the driver fell asleep or something and the driver drifted off, was there any kind of like, you know, alarm system set up in the car to warn the driver that the driver was, you know, leaving the lane that they were traveling in or whatever? You know, it's hard to say. Let's see. I was going to look at it real quick because we're talking about what the actual rest area looked like. And it says the Paynes Prairie rest area. So I'm going to go over here to this other side where I got my other deal at looking at. And I was going to pull up the maps and then search Paynes. And that's, yeah, Prairie, yeah. See what we come up with here. Yep, okay, here we go. So, yep, right there around Gainesville. So, of course, we're in, like, central Florida, like, even, like, north of Orlando a little bit. So, and then if you zoom in, and let's pull up, can we pull up? Yeah, here we go. Satellite view is what I want to see. Yeah, okay, yeah. So the way the rest area looks, I mean, it's not even... Yeah, okay, I see it now. I see. Yeah, so the truck parking is in the front. You know how sometimes when you look at, well, you know, here, I'll go over here and I'll can I get over here and share it with this one without causing too much of a panic? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I can just new share, pull it up here, and you can see it on YouTube. So what it is, it's, you know how when you got a truck area, truck parking area, and a car area, and usually the car area is in the front, which if you're exiting off to the right, means you keep going to the right to get to the truck parking, and then hook a little left to get to the car parking. Well, in this rest area, it's the opposite. And the truck parking is like well before the rest area itself. So the buildings, the facilities are all like across the way, so you kind of have to walk a little bit to get to the actual restrooms and everything, because they're not anywhere near that. There's an actual driveway with cars parked everywhere in between the truck parking area and the facilities. So the way it looks here is that if the car was self-driving, it got off the road. And then it tried to get right back on, which means that it stayed to the left. And instead of, I mean, really, there's no way to know, like, how far did it go before it hit the truck? Because according to the picture, when you see the picture, there are several vehicles to the left of the crash, which means that the car went by those vehicles before it hit the Walmart truck. So with the way it looks, if you look it up here on the satellite, which we're seeing right now on YouTube, is that when you come in off the interstate and then it kind of swerves in. So it's, I mean, being that it would be self-driving, it could have. Not to say it did, but it could have. That's probably why the investigation was authorized or you know, began to go through it because yeah. I could see it. I could see that happen. But yeah, it says here, the probe will look into whether the driver assist features like autopilot were active on the Tesla when the fatal crash occurred. So according to Reuters, the National Highway Traffic Safety Alliance has opened 36 special crash investigations since 2016 involving Tesla vehicles in which advanced driver assisted features like autopilot were suspected of being in use. 17 deaths occurred as a result of the 36 crashes under this investigation, the outlet reports. What I'd like to know is out of those 36, how many of them did they say, okay, yeah, the car was at fault, like the computer was at fault? That doesn't say. So if I click on here, was it, see, U.S. agency to probe. So here is the Reuters article talking about the U.S. agency to open probe into fatal Florida Tesla crash. And let's see. And I was going to see if here it says on Thursday, they confirmed that it's opened a special investigation into a fatal pedestrian crash in California involving a 2018 Tesla Model 3 in which the advanced driver assistance system was suspected of having been in use. It says that the Highway Traffic Safety Alliance has previously opened 36, including the California crash, and vehicles in which advanced systems were suspected of being in use since 2016. A total of 17 crash deaths have been reported, including the Florida crash. Typically opens more than 100 special investigations annually into emerging technologies and other potential auto safety issues that have, for instance, previously helped to develop safety rules on airbags. It says, Tesla, which has disbanded its press office, did not respond for a request for comment. It says the Florida crash bears similarities to a series of crashes under investigation. In June, they upgraded its defect probe into 830,000 Tesla vehicles with autopilot, a required step before it could seek a recall. It says the Highway Traffic Safety Alliance opened a preliminary evaluation to assess the performance of the system in 765,000 vehicles after about a dozen crashes in which Tesla vehicles stopped emergency vehicles, and said last month it had identified 6 additional crashes. And it says Administrator Stephen Cliff told Reuters on Wednesday he wants to complete the Tesla autopilot investigation as quickly as we possibly can, but I also want to get it right. There's a lot of information that we need to comb through. You know the old saying, you can have it one of three ways. You can have it right, you can have it quick, or you can have it cheap. But you can't have all three, or you can only have one of all three. If you want it quickly as possible, well, then it ain't going to be cheap and it ain't going to be right. So if you want to get it right, then take your time. That's what I say. But they don't care about that. You know, it's all about sales with these big corporations, you know, issuing recalls. It's like it's better just to pay the lawsuit than it is to spend the money on the recalls, all that kind of crap. So ain't no telling. You know, they say that there's 36 total investigations involving Tesla vehicles where they've suspected that the self-driving autopilots were supposedly in use. Okay, so how many of those are closed and how many of them actually determine, yes, the computer was being used and, yes, the computer messed up? That's what I want to know. But, you know, maybe we'll have to email them ourselves. So let's go to it. I think this is Greg chiming in. I knew he would. What's going on, bud?
Not a whole lot, Ed. I've been called in for a couple of days. I've been busy on my truck all last week. I put that air ride steer axle on my truck, so I finally got that done. But anyhow, what do you bet before that's over with Tesla that they put that on the trucking company somehow?
Well, it's Walmart, so of course Walmart will say, of course, yeah, it's our fault. We'll fire the driver. You know,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. They're going to put it back on them. They're not going to own up to that. He was parked in the wrong spot, or he wasn't in a parking spot just exactly right, or something. They're not going, because that would be, to me, that would be a hell of a lawsuit.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's, you know, I don't know about. There's a lot of different things that can happen. And I always tell people, you know, I have family that kind of got screwed over by some big corporations. And I told them, I said, get a lawyer. And they're like, well, that don't seem right. And I said, it doesn't matter. I said, they would do the same. They would do that to you. You know, so you always got to, mutually assured destruction. If you know they're going to come after you, so you better be willing to go after them. And what do you call?
Guaranteed.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where if I was the truck driver, then I would already be calling a lawyer ready to sue Tesla because I'm traumatized now. My vehicle was involved in a crash or somebody died.
When they hit me, when they run in underneath me, when I see that happen, I'd have rolled out of that truck and hit the ground. I said, call my ambulance and the attorneys.
Yep.
And
yep.
Not necessarily in that order. I'm down.
Exactly right. You're exactly right about that. You know, I mean, even
man
people
down,
that...
Man down, man down.
Yeah. There was a driver, when I was working for Swift back in the day, there was a Swift driver. He was a good guy. He was a trainer. And he got rear-ended by a roadway driver. And you never would think that being rear-ended while you were in a big truck would be that big of a deal. But he said he needed some therapy. It kind of messed it up where he jerked. You know, he was driving and it jerked him. And he had to go to the doctors for, you know, a couple of years to get it all right to where he could, you know, not be in pain all the time. So, yeah, I mean,
I got rear-ended years ago. I was driving a cab over when I had my cab over out there in PA, right out there by Shippensville. Was it Shippensville? Reynoldsburg. Yeah, I was coming back west and come on the ramp, and I was up about 45, 50 mile an hour. Had my four ways on yet. I forget who it was now, one of them garbage haulers from out east.
Right.
And he comes stroking up over there, had a cab over Freightliner, and I had an International cab over. Hmm. He hit me in the back of a Fruhoff sliding tandem flatbed. Hmm. I had skidded coils on, painted skidded coils on. He drove that trailer up underneath them skidded coils. I had like eight of them on chain, strapped down, tarped. He drove the trailer. He hit me so hard, he drove the trailer up under them coils and slid them coils. Them coils slid back about 10, 12 inches. Every coil on that trailer. He drove that trailer, hit me so hard, he shoved that trailer in underneath them coils with the chains on it.
Man.
Every chain broke or come loose.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, he was in the cab over. It smashed that trailer. How he ever got out of it without getting hurt, I don't know. But the cop come up there and told him, he said, shut it off. He said, I can't. The truck won't shut off. Cop said, shut it off or I'm going to shoot it. Put it out of its misery.
Mm-hmm.
There was antifreeze stuff everywhere. But, yeah. And the company that I was, you know, driving for, because it was a company truck, you know that they paid for that. When they inspected that guy's truck, they found out he had bad brakes. Every brake on his truck, just about every one of them, cammed over. That's how bad his brakes was.
Hmm.
That when the wreckers got out there, they had to cut the bolts on the brake chambers to get the damn axes loose because they cammed over. And the company I was driving for, and I quit right after that. They paid for that man's truck. Now you figure that one out. What do you do? But anyhow, yeah, it's funny when you start dealing with stuff like that. It's crazy. It's nuts, but I don't know. And it's only getting worse.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, on that same subject of, you know, getting bad out there and crashes getting worse. So CDL Life also put an article out last week. Former Texas DPS worker sentenced for handing out hundreds of fraudulent CDLs in exchange for bribes.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But we're the bad guys out here.
Exactly. And I'm trying to say it says Western District of Texas. I don't know where that would be at, but yeah, it's handing out CDLs. And then according to another article, had the Colorado DOT says it's going to temporarily close Interstate 70 eastbound next week for removal of crashed big rig. And I'm telling you, you see this picture of this big rig, and it looks fake. It looks like somebody took a picture of an overturned big truck and just kind of like superimposed next to some trees on the side of the road, because that's what it looks like. It's weird the way they put it on here. But it says that the road closure for eastbound I-70 through Glenwood Canyon next week, as crews removed a crashed truck. Says the road closure will occur on eastbound I-70 through Glenwood Canyon next Wednesday, July 13th, starting at 10 a.m. and lasting about 6 hours. It's got to take up 6 hours. And yeah, it's sitting there. I mean, it's.
Huh.
I'm trying to think, Glenwood Canyon. I think that's further out. That's like out there. It looks like to me it's out more toward Grand Junction.
Well, Tim was reading one to me this morning while we was having coffee there at the table this morning before I left. And she said on Facebook where there was a bad accident down there, a truck run off the bridge down there in Louisiana on 10.
Yeah, that's on here too.
Flopped it over and put it down in there, and they had to water. You had to get divers to go down in there and rescue the driver and, you know, and help get the truck up out of there. I'm thinking, you know, if I crash a truck and I go over that bridge and I go down in that water, if I ain't dead and I get out of that truck, I'm going to walk on water because there's gators in that water. I ain't know. I ain't staying in there.
Well,
I'm coming up swinging, baby.
I got a picture on YouTube right now. It says trucker survives plunge off Louisiana I-10 bridge into the water below. Now it's got a picture of the crane picking the truck out of the water. And I'm telling you, man, it looks like some kind of mangled up fishing lure. I mean, it is all tore up and dangling.
Yeah.
And
well, and now they're getting ready to impose that law on that down there to where they're going to put cameras up on there. And if you cross that bridge in less than 18 minutes, sir, you're going to get a ticket in the mail.
Oh, there you go.
You hear about, did you read that one?
I didn't see that one, but
new law that Louisiana's putting on that bridge. They're going to put cameras up on that bridge. And if you cross that bridge and you do it in less than 18 minutes from one end to the other, in less than less than 18 minutes, you're going to get a ticket in the mail.
I mean, it says on there, of course, that the speed limit is very low. It's like 55 or 50.
Yep.
Right.
50, I don't know what it is.
And no trucks in the left lane at all. Like no trucks in the left lane. Like you can't pass. Doesn't matter.
Right.
So, I mean, you see it all the time. You know, you see some idiot go fly by and everybody's on the CB going, well, you know, he must know something that, you know, he must be in something or whatever. The funny thing is,
there's years ago, we didn't have that trouble down there. Years ago, we run across here, you know, 55, 60 mile an hour, you know, nobody had a problem. Why all the accidents? Look at the gorge. We used to run 55 through there, 55, 60 mile an hour through there all the time. When it first reached speed limit, it was 65 through there. Now, all of a sudden, now it's, you know, 45, 50 mile an hour, no trucks in the left lane, no passing. You know, and it's marked all the way through the gorge. No trucks this lane. And them guys still right out there in that left lane just hauling ass, you know?
Yep.
It's like, you know, it's not the road, it's the drivers. It's the mentality of the drivers we get out here anymore. We don't have drivers. I'm sorry.
That's the way it is. Yep, there it is.
That's what happens. That's what happens when you're hauling cheap freight. You got to drive 70, 80 mile an hour all the time to try to make a living.
Yep.
For instance, my own company tried to get me to haul a load today. Now, you can do this any way you want to. Try to tell me, all right, wants me to go to Hawesville when I unload Bowling Green in the morning. He wanted me to deadhead to Hawesville, Kentucky, which is 91 miles up there, deadhead. Pick a load up going to Huntersville, North Carolina. All right? Now, the load grows $1,509.20. Now, it's a 43,000-pound load. It's 539 miles, from Hawesville to Huntersville. All right, now you add the 91 miles to it, deadhead, you're at 630 miles, right? All right, they tell you it's $1,509.20 gross, and it's $479.71 for fuel surcharge, okay? Now, you take that $479.71 off that $1,509.20, it brings you down to $1,029.49. All right, now you take that $630. You divide that 2949 by 630, and it comes out to $1.60 a mile. How in the hell can you haul? How can you work for that?
Yeah.
I said, there ain't no way.
Ain't no way.
I said, if that's all you got, I'll go home. Well, you know, fuel. I said, right. Fuel's $6 a gallon. But while you're working for nothing, I'll use that money to deadhead home. And I'll go home and set another week.
Yeah.
I was home a week. I'll go back home and set another week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how are these guys doing it? How are they working? How are they running these trucks for $250, $280, even at $3 a mile, with fuel as high as it is, and the maintenance costs and everything, and what parts and everything is, and labor costs and everything out here? How are they making it? And that's not counting their truck payment. The guys just got truck payments. The owner operators, well, you know, they got truck payments.
Well, I would say
$2,000 or better a month.
You're asking the question, and you're the one. You don't have a truck payment, and you don't have a mechanic to pay.
That's
know?
What I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine those guys.
My own mechanic work. I can't understand it.
Guys,
man.
That have not only, like you saying, fuel cost and truck maintenance and truck payment, but they got to pay a mechanic, you know. And then a lot of times those newer trucks, I mean, yeah, they might be under warranty, they might not cost anything, but you're still down, you know.
Exactly.
And,
it doesn't make any difference if you don't have maintenance. You still got that truck payment every month.
That's right.
Now, what's a monthly truck payment running on a truck now? It's got to be $2,700 a month.
That's cheap.
Or right at.
Yeah, I mean,
I
you got to figure most of those lease purchases are right around $1,200 a week.
I'm not talking about lease purchase, even.
Yeah.
I'm talking about just a guy that goes out and finances it to a bank or a finance company or whatever on a brand new truck. What's he paying a month on that truck?
I mean, I bet you
$200,000 truck.
Yeah, I bet you it's $3,000 a month easy. Because I mean, I remember when those guys were getting truck payments for around $2,400, and that was 10 years ago.
Right.
So you know.
That's what I'm saying. I don't get it. I don't know how they're doing it.
I don't either.
Oh,
I don't either.
I mean, now they're crying. There's gonna be a death shortage. They ain't going to be able to get deaf. Deaf is going to be a shortage. You're going to have a shortage of deaf fluid. Now,
it's
what?
It's a good thing that our trucks don't use it.
I'm sitting here rubbing my hands waiting on this one, but I can't wait. Because since they ain't got no deaf, they can't run. They're going to have to park. And then baby, I'm in the money. I'm going to keep on running my dinosaur right on down the road.
There you go. Yep.
Oh, I saw Steve something the other day. I don't know, it was Facebook or somewhere, which you take that for a grain of salt for what it's worth. But somebody posted on there about something about the EPA had no rights to regulate the industry as far as the emissions and everything on these trucks, which, you know, that's never going to stop. They're going to keep doing that.
Well, that's the funny thing is that what was it? It was the farm. Like, I think it was the farmers, they sued, or some kind of company sued the EPA about their controlling of the water. Because it's like yeah, we want clean water, but they're going to overboard. They're like extending the rules. So it's like, yeah, you know, so the Supreme Court said, yeah, EPA, you can't do that. So what we assume is that's going to happen with the trucking industry too now. The trucking industry can say, hey, EPA, You're placing an undue burden on the industry by your overzealous regulation of emissions and all that. But like you're saying, I don't think nobody gives a damn. So EPA is still going to regulate the trucking industry or the diesel industry. But they say, well, yeah, you know, because nobody cares about you. You know, nobody cares about diesel. So, yeah, I could see that the diesel engine manufacturers, if they were to band together and say, hey, we can't. Yep. They shouldn't be allowed to do this, but they're not going to do that because
they just tuck tail and go. You know, say okay,
exactly.
Okay. Yeah, it's like truck drivers. Whatever they tell you to do, okay, I'll do it. Well, everybody's like that. Yeah, nobody, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody.
What do you think? What was it back in 2010? No, when they came out with the 2010 and newer emissions with the DEF and everything. Why do you think cat's not around anymore?
They didn't want
to redo their motor just so they could have that death system on it.
Well,
Caterpillar realized they lost a lot of money. That's why Cat, from what I understand, Cat's been trying to get another engine or something. We're thinking about coming back. Now, whether they do or not, I don't know. But kind of late in the game to be trying it now.
Well,
yeah, the only engines you got out there is Cummins, PACCAR, Detroit, and I believe Volvo has a compliant motor now. That's your motors that you can get now.
And but Caterpillar, you know, Caterpillar don't care about the emissions engines. They don't care about the new engine to sell to the public. The Caterpillar is making enough money building non-compliant engines and selling them to the federal government.
Exactly.
The federal government,
like,
if you want
to know, I'd like,
you can get a
I'd
brand
like
new
to know
Caterpillar.
I'd like to know how many federal, you know, pieces of equipment that the federal government's got that's actually running on DEF and all these emissions and everything.
Not too many.
Their trucks and their equipment and everything. I'll bet you not.
When they ship them overseas.
I see them getting...
Because they're using them overseas, they're saying, hey, we don't have to abide by those rules because we're not using the truck in the United States. So
exactly.
That's the whole complaint. You know, so when they buy a military vehicle, you know, they say, well, we're going to use it in, you know, in Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, whatever. You know, we're not going to use it in the United States, so it doesn't have to be compliant. That's their whole concept.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Crazy.
I don't know.
Stuff.
Don't
but
know
yeah,
what's going to go on, but it ain't getting no better.
Yeah, that.
Now they're bragging out, oh, fuel or gas prices come down, you know, come down a little bit. Everybody's making a big deal out of it. Yeah, they need to come down a whole lot more. Don't get excited yet. It ain't over yet.
So one more vehicle wreck that caught the eye of the news here, and I'll put the picture on YouTube so everybody can see it. But it says RV driver hauling boat injured after taking runaway ramp in Utah. So the RV pulling a boat decided he's going to take the runaway truck ramp, and he kind of ran it off the road and kind of tore it up pretty good. The front end got messed up, and there's kind of like an aerial shot of it, and it's one of those runaway ramps that just kind of runs alongside the road. It's not really a kind of like it doesn't go up a hill or anything. It just kind of runs alongside the road, and it's got a sand pit and a couple of little hills, and you could tell where the RV went up over the little sand hill and then got all buried into the dirt. But yeah, somebody took a video of it while they were driving by it. And
wow.
It kind of looks like he ran off the road.
Huh.
Pulling a boat. So yeah, it was pretty interesting. But
man.
Yep, that's near St. George, Utah up there. That's where that was. It was a little two-lane road, two-lane highway. So, yeah, I mean, you know, people out there just acting stupid. That's what they do. You know, driving, you know, I've said it a couple of times. In fact, I've wanted to kind of make it more and more relevant with Redneck and I's is that driving is hard. People don't really underestimate that, okay, driving's easy. I can do it with one hand. No, it's hard. It's supposed to be hard. You're supposed to be paying attention. Quit all this cruising and, you know, and all this, it's hard. It, you know, you got to pay attention. I'm driving down in the middle of the night, and there's vehicles just parked on the side of the road, just parked there on the side of the road, like it ain't nothing. And it's pitch black out there. And they're just, they're either asleep or broke down or whatever, no lights on, nothing. And they think, oh, it's no big deal. You know, I mean, there's an actual a commercial that I watched, one of those, you know, let's go after the big truck for having an accident. And the lady was talking about how they were stopped on the side of the road to do something. They weren't. It wasn't no big deal. They just kind of pulled off on the side of the road just to handle some things or get some food or whatever. And they pulled off side. And she goes, next thing I knew, we were getting run over by a big truck. And it's like yeah, because you know what? That's what happens when you're out there sitting next to the highway. Everybody moving highway speeds, and you think just because you're off the road 6 inches that you're going to be just fine. That ain't right. You got to understand.
You know what's
that
irritating me more than anything too is these guys pulling off the side of the road and taking their 30-minute breaks or just parking off or just pulling over. That's bullshit.
You know what's
plan
even worse?
Accordingly.
Well, you know what's even worse is that when you express your opinion online, when you go on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and you say, "Hey, this is bad. Don't do this." We're like, "What are they supposed to do?" You know, there ain't no parking.
You're an asshole.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, geez whiz, people, it's dangerous. Driving is dangerous. Driving is hard. Stop with all of this cruising.
If the cops would get out there and do their job, enforce the laws that's on the books, don't make any new laws, enforce the ones that's already there, they wouldn't have no deficit problem. Because about 90% of these truck drivers would pay that off.
Yep.
Because they do stupid shit. They drive 30 mile an hour in a truck stop. They go out, they park on the side, just pull up right out in the middle of nowhere on the highway. I mean, you go down the road, and I probably change lanes 15, 20 times a day just trying to move over because there's a truck sitting on his shoulder, and you pass him, and he's sitting there with his head on the steering wheel with his four ways on, taking his 30-minute break.
Yep.
You know, bullshit. You know, if you're broke down, the law says if you're broke down for longer than how many, you're supposed to have your triangles out. So, cop pulls up there. You broke down? No, I ain't broke down. I'm taking my 30-minute break. Well, here, you just bought this spot then for a while. Hand him a ticket. Go on, send him on his way.
Well, and all
there
the more
no reason
to bring up. To bring up Redneck and I's YouTube channel, we got a video about how to set up your triangles, because a lot of you out there, you don't know how to set up your triangles. You need to know how to set up your triangle. You don't. You put them out there and you think just because you got three sitting behind the truck, you're legal.
I passed one day. He had one hanging on the back of his trailer. Then about 50 feet or so behind that, there was a tree limb hanging down over the guardrail. He had one hanging on that tree limb. And then the other one was about 50 or 100 feet farther back on the road, had it set right out on the white line.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, really?
Hmm. Yeah.
Hanging in a tree.
Hanging in the tree.
Wow. You just got to sit there and shake your head and say, wow. That's all you can do.
Exactly right.
I don't know. So what happened with the speed limiters? I ain't heard nothing more about that. What's going on with that?
I haven't heard nothing either. Let's you know what, I can pull it up here and see. Let me
that quieted down quick, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is I think I'm the only one that was talking about it. Like Redneck and I's Radio was the only one actually talking about it. And and then of course you pull it up on Google on Trucking News and there ain't nothing on there. So I mean, do the speed limiter 2022 rule. And see here, the trucker.com actually has an article that was put out. Well, that was in May. And it says they extended the commenting period. They extended it. It was supposed to end in June, at the end of June. I see the crank.
Oh.
But yeah, it's
I never heard when they were going to make a decision on when they were going to. When it was going to go through or what. I never heard a date. The only date I heard was about your comments, and that was it.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't heard any more about it. That's why I wondered.
So,
it seemed like it just quieted down, like it just disappeared, you know?
Actually, it's number... Yeah, they extended it to July 18th, the commenting period, and it is actually on the top search results for the homepage here. And there's still just over 15,000 comments, so it hasn't really changed much since I looked at it last. But you know, it's still in the commenting phase. They extended it out. It started in May, and they were saying it was going to end at the end of June, and they extended it out till July 18th. So you can still go comment. And,
well, hey, Ed, I got to jump off here and run some paperwork in so you can mute me for a minute. I'll see you here in a little bit on Facebook and if I get back out in time.
All right, now.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, at least it didn't take them 2 hours to unload it.
Right.
It took them 2 hours to load the sucker earlier today. He was a little mad.
Well, hey, that's what he gets for doing the swing door. You know, you got to sit there and wait on him. It's not like flatbed where you can actually watch him do it, and then you have to help. You know, you got to be the one responsible for making sure. It's like when you open those doors, you just kind of let them do their thing, and you can't really control it. You know. I wonder if he's yelled at anybody for running up in his truck with a forklift yet, because that always irritated me when I was when you're the owner of the trailer, you don't want the guy with the forklift like running in there at 30 miles an hour, you know, causing your airbags to, you know, slam down to the floor or whatever. It's a pain in the ass when people tearing up your equipment.
It don't matter if you're a company driver or owner operator or lease operator or whatever. You don't want them tearing apart your trailer. Then you got to go get it fixed, and you're now it's just costing you money.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it would be it's so funny that they do that. Like they'll say, you know, they tear it up, or they'll mess up some type of interior wall, especially when you had like a wood side trailer, and they would break the wood and all that, and then they would come and tell you, well, we can't load it until you get that fixed. I said, well, you broke it. Like, what do you want me to do? You know, I mean, come on now. But yeah, it's so funny, you know, that you can't have any broken wood on the side of it. But you know what? We're going to run it up in there and try to tear up that wood. But, you know, so don't come in here with it all messed up. And it's like they inspect the trailer and then they want to treat it like crap when they do, you know, start loading it. So it always irritated me when they always were picky about their trailers. It's like you're picky, but then when your guys start loading them, they don't care. You know, they'll tear them up. And if you had those composite sides, you know, what they call them, the Duraplate trailers, you know, those ones, the forklifts go right through them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was always a pain in the butt. But shoot, man,
cheap material, and more of the price.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, man, those speed limiters, I don't know, man. I guess they're going to keep trying to talk it up. They may keep extending it just to keep everybody quiet. You know, we were the only ones really putting it online where you can actually, you know, talk about it and everything. So, So we'll see what all happens on there. You never know.
Yeah, you just got to play that one by ear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been like a ghost town on that. I haven't heard nothing.
But I'll put it out there on Facebook, see what everybody's doing on that. You know what the other one was member, what's his name, Schmidt, had requested an exemption because he said that the hours of service rules, they have a conflict with his sleep schedule. So he wanted an exemption. I wonder where that went to, because that was in
I don't think it went very far.
No, it was in a commenting. I mean, he actually got it put on the comment period, but I don't know if it actually did anything. It's because nothing else is doing on here. You got food and drug, agriculture. Yeah, they ain't doing anything else.
Just trying to get an exemption for something.
Well, no, I mean, what it was he was always complaining that about the 14 hours, you know, about the clock ticking like that. He wanted to be able to stop the clock, which we were always able to do before the 14-hour rule kicked in, you know, and I tell all the time, you know, it's so funny that when the 14-hour rule kicked in, all the drivers complained, and they actually had a listening session. They said, hey, you know, the 14-hour rule is not good. We want to be able to stop the clock because a lot of times we get kind of stuck at the shipper and we can't take a break when we want to. We have to go because the clock's ticking. So they said, well, you know what you need then? You need a mandatory 30-minute break. That's what you need. It's like, no, that's not what we need at all.
No, they don't need no mandatory. You don't need to.
It's painful.
Guys are on paper log. They can kind of fudge that around, but the guys on e-log, which is majority of everybody out here anyways,
yep.
It gets kind of be annoying. But it, a lot of guys don't use a, don't do time management right.
Exactly. Yep, I totally agree with that. Okay, let's see. It's coming down to the wire now. We got a little less than 5 minutes left, and we're just going to rock on out of here because, I mean, I got to go to work. So.
Yeah, but I worked a little bit today.
Oh, just a little bit? Man, I tell
yeah,
you what.
A little bit.
I'm ready for another. I mean, we had a three-day weekend last weekend. I'm ready for another one.
I was at Greg's house all week last week.
Ah, man. Yep. Good times.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was. Those
yep.
iced teas were going, though.
I'm telling you. So with all that being said, we got coming up, we got Truckers for Hope coming up in September. And looks like Redneck and I's is going to be there for sure. Greg, I think, is going to enter his truck into the tractor pool, truck pool. So
yeah, I'm not sure if I'm gonna make that or
yeah, I'm not sure
or
either.
Not. It's just too far away still.
Exactly. I agree. Yep.
If the fuel prices stay right where they're at, probably not.
right. I tell you. But, yeah, so it's going to look pretty fun. Pretty excited about that coming up. And then, of course, there are a couple of people that we know are going to be over there in Iowa for the Truckers Jamboree there at the Walcott Iowa 80. So that'd be interesting to see. Make sure we get some good
news. I was just there over the weekend. And then if you weren't in there by, you know, any normal truck stop at 5, 6 o'clock, you ain't finding a parking spot. Just
right.
Because of how much they got blocked off. They put up the tents over the weekend for everything there.
Right. Yeah.
But so
they had it blocked off where the parking was limited because
yeah.
of all
I was there the weekend. I was there one day throughout the week prior to 4th of July, and they were already starting to block off portion
gotcha.
Along the highway there, the south end of the lot.
Gotcha.
Just trying to. As guys were coming in and out, they just start moving the barricades. And
okay.
I think they pretty much got everything blocked off over there.
So they might not have it going, but usually – so I was talking about how a lot of these big truck stops, because their parking lot's so big that they have a little bus or something. Do they have anything like that at Walcott? Did you see? Like a little van
no,
or something?
No, there's nothing. The only one that I know of that has a shuttle is White's over in Racine, Virginia. That's the only one that I know of. That
yeah,
has a shuttle going in and out, which...
Yeah. Well, I always thought a Walcott would be good to have, especially in the wintertime, because that was the sucky part, is having to walk through the parking lot, you know, when the weather was really bad. Because in Iowa, it's the wind's blowing, it's cold. like walking out there is just
yeah.
good stuff.
No, I've been there in the winter. It does suck if you park way out it sucks.
Yes.
Walker.
Yes.
Yeah, they should have a shuttle, especially during the winter. During the winter would be nice.
Mm-hmm. But, yep, there we go. That's how you do it. So yeah, I'm going to get to work, and you guys have fun out there, and we'll try this again tomorrow.
Yeah, All right. I'm going to go figure out, see if this I think I'm at a Fi and J, Boselman, whatever, in Altoona, Iowa, see if they have something to eat inside.
There you go.
I think there's
yep.
a restaurant in here, but I can't remember. It's been quite some time I've been here, and I haven't missed nothing.
Yep. Always, Boselman's always had like grandma's restaurant or something.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right, bud.
All right, well, we'll see what's going on tomorrow night. Well, have a good night at work tonight. Be safe.
Okay. All right, now, you too, bud. We'll see you later.
Uh-huh.
Good deal.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, now, we're going to get on out of here. I'm gonna take it on easy. And like I said, don't forget, thank for our great sponsors. That's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at DPF Regeneration. Right there, you can give them a call at 800-634-3010. Appreciate all their support. And like I said, we'll be here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a holler at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation, just hit 1. Or on YouTube Live. And that's always going to be there for you, is YouTube Live. Please go subscribe to YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. Until next time, y'all stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.
thing, wrapped up in a blanket thing. Golden ribbons from your hair and your kiss. Girl, that's what I miss. Still I drive these horses through the rain and snow. This high-speed rodeo is all I know. I'm in Nashville, cowboy, born to run.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneckinized was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckinized.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneckinized.